In Yiddishkeit, in Judaism, what takes precedence? The body or the soul? The mind or the body? And are there any mitzvahs that one can do without the body? At first glance, many would think that the soul, that the mind is primary, and the body is at most a distraction. Perhaps we ultimately want to get to Olam Haba, we want to get to the Rambam's Gan Eden, the Maimonidean Gan Eden, where all day long we'll just be disembodied minds without any of the challenges or being held back by our bodies. And while there are many mitzvahs that we do with our bodies, it would seem there are some very fundamental mitzvahs which can be done without our bodies, like the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Limud HaTorah. All these things appear not to involve the body. In a sicha from 1950, the Rebbe shows how the body actually does have a certain primacy over the soul, and how there is no mitzvah which can be done without the body. And even the mitzvahs of Ava and Yiras Hashem, the mitzvahs of loving and standing in awe of Hashem, also involve the body. This sicha is the first sicha of a Parshas Chayei Sarah in the Kutta Sichas Chelek Aleph, and it's on page 31. The Rebbe writes, in the Ein Tikkun Seder state, in Parshas Chayei Sarah it says, Vatoma Sarah bekiris arba hi chevron beretz Kenan. And Sarah died in Kiryas Arba, which is chevron in the land of Kenan. Taishter Zoya, the Zoya explains, as Sarah is a remez eftim guf un aviram eftir nisham. And although it's the case that this is a historical story, the Zohar tells us that the historical event also is a symbolic tale. And in this story, Aviram symbolizes the mind, symbolizes the soul, whereas Sarah symbolizes the body. So when Vatamas Sarah dies, that means the body dies. Vatamas Sarah, as when their guf start be Kiryas Arba, when the body dies, and what does Kiryas Arba symbolize? Vas Erba state from the fear, you say this, that it symbolizes the four elements that the Greek philosophers told us, and this is generally the model used in Jewish philosophy, that we have four elements of earth, water, fire, and air, that these four elements compose the body. He chevron was called man erot geleb, zain the fear you say this given mechuber, that so long as the body is alive, the four elements of earth, fire, water, and air are all combined, they're all connected. And then ashtart, demult is vayav yavram, the neshama comes when the body dies. Lispid lisara veliv kaisa, to eulogize Sarah and to cry about her. The neshama veint, the neshama cries. Vaylech nachan toit, and nachar stalkus, is neshama harun mit neguf. Because even after death and after the neshama's departure from the body, the neshama still has a connection to the body. Late then, according to this, as sorry as I rem as Avdim Guf, when Avram if their neshama. So according to this teaching, that Avram symbolizes the soul and Sarah symbolizes the body is important for Sandik, it's difficult to understand what Hashem was saying in last week's parsha when he told Avram, whatever Sarah tells you, whatever the body tells you, listen to its voice. Why should the soul be subservient to the body? First of all, why is the body telling the soul what to do? And second, why should the soul cry about the death of the body? Shouldn't the soul be happy that it's been liberated? As is bavus devart from the Baal Shem Tev, there's a famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tev. There's a famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tev on the pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim, which goes, Kisira chamor soinacha revitz tachas masoi. When you see the donkey of your enemy crouching under its load, v'chadalta mi'aziv loy, will you desist or you hold back from helping him out? Oziv taziv imay, surely you shall help him out. So Baal Shem Tov explains that beyond the literal meaning of this pasuk, there's also a symbolic meaning. Kisira chamor, when you see the donkey of your enemy, as duvezich ein kokein in dein chamor, when you see your chamor, your donkey, your chimer, your physicality, because chimer also means physicality, it means matter. Ves zen asaynecha, you might see an enemy. Erz dein soinah, your body is your enemy. Vile. And onay bavaydes bayim onim fun lebens dein gufin the shamas soinah meiv mitzvaytin. Because at the beginning of one's life, or at the beginning of one's spiritual work, the body and the soul are enemies. They're in opposition. The enemy, the physicality, matter, is crouching under its burden. Masa, the burden, meant their oil. That refers to the yoke of Torah Mitzvahs. Nit kokendik as thus is masoi, zain masa. Was there far out when get mitzvahs and the shamas and go from dafke. Now, although it's the case that this burden is your burden, and that's why the mitzvahs were given to the shamas in bodies, they were given to embodied souls specifically. Val di kavanas is to lib is lighted them goof, because the ultimate purpose of mitzvahs is in order to clarify, to refine the body. From this leg, nonetheless, this far imamasa, the body perceives Torah and mitzvahs as a burden. Vasevil does need, which the body would prefer with, to live without. Memele is a revitz tachas masay. So it follows that the body crouches under this burden. Oyser dem vas the mitzvahs zayin gegeben givar in dafkets and the shamas and gufin zayin the mitzvahs gufa oich angetan dafkin gashmis tikazachin. The Rebbe says, in addition to the fact that the mitzvahs were given to embodied souls, not only were the mitzvahs given to embodied souls, but the mitzvahs themselves pertain to physical things. Unit nor the mitzvahs maisis, not only the physical mitzvahs, say like hafreshes challah, or putting on tefillin, or sitting in a sukkah, but even the mitzvahs, which are duties of the heart, which seemingly involve no physical activity, like love and fear of Hashem, and duties of the mind, duties of the brain, duties of the intellect, like, for example, the mitzvah of believing in divine unity, these mitzvahs too, the mitzvahs of the heart and the mind, their whole idea is that they be felt in the physical, fleshy body of the heart and mind. L'mashal, to give an example, the mitzvahs from Avas Hashem, the mitzvah of loving Hashem, Azevin Gashmias is Da'ach Shmua Tevet Dashen Etzem. The pasuk in Mishlei tells us that good news makes the bones fat. V'di Gemara Dertzel, like the Gemara in Gidnaf, and Vav and Beis tells us that when Rechon and Zakeh left Yerushalayim, and he gave good news to the general Vespasian, Apasionus, who was trying to conquer Yerushalayim, Vespasian suddenly became very happy, and his limbs engorged, and he wasn't able to put back on his shoe. So we see that Shemua Tevet Tadash and Etzem, that there's a physiological response when a person receives good news. As von der gute Besur, was man hat ihm angesagt, is given by him a kaperlich anderung. As euch in Avas Hashem is der kirvas elikim li toiv, was der mensch der Herr, taf euch sein kentik in sein guf. So the Rebbe is saying that just as we see that when a person hears good news about things which are not necessarily related to Avas Hashem, but generally speaking, one has a physiological response, so too, when it comes to Avas Hashem, when it comes to one's love of Hashem, that should lead to a physiological response. There should be a physiological impact on the body. So it is when it comes to awe of Hashem. Not only should there be a physiological response in the brain or the heart, nor is darav zayin kentik in them keper lechafleish from mayach and hearts as a shrektzich, but it should rather be recognizable, should be felt within the physical flesh, within the physical organ of the brain or the heart, that the person is in a state of fear. Altsabn is givezin dinasim. The Rebbeim, the Hasidic masters, showed us all sorts of spiritual states. And here too, by this example of needing a physiological response, or having a physiological response in response to one's Avos Hashem or Yiras Hashem, we see stories from the Hasidic masters. We see that these were lived out by the Hasidic masters. As Bavusti Maises, the Alter Rebbe, the Molon Davin in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Komendix to Divertu Vechein Tein Pachtecha. It's well known the story that the Alter Rebbe, as he was davening either Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, came to the words, Uvechein Tein Pachtecha. And so you should place your fear, you should place your terror upon all of creation. As soon as the altar became these words, he began to roll on the floor. And he was saying, Pach, Pach. And he wasn't able to finish the word because it was a great terror, because it was a great fear. And only after a little while was he able to say the entire word of Pachtecha. So we see that the Alter Rebbe's intense fear of Hashem led to a physiological response where he began to roll on the floor and was not able to finish the word Pachtecha. We see another story of a physiological response of fear by the Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek, third Rebbe Lubavitch. In the Eretz Yoren V'zayin Siyas, the Mol Gezesin Farbrach Melech Sivan. At the beginning of the Tzemach Tzedek's leadership, at times he would sit in Farbrach together with his Chassidim. Melech Gebrach Kavit. They brought a certain very strong mashke, a certain very strong alcohol, which nowadays is called Neinziger. So that would be 90% with alcohol. And there's also an alcoholic beverage called Zex Neinziger, which is 96% alcohol, which is still drunk by Chabad Chassidim today. Not at every Ferengin, but it's certainly something that's around, that's something that exists, something very, very strong, and it can lead to a very, very quick intoxication. So Alter Genomen Ein Galoz, they brought this very strong mashke to the Tzemach Tzedek, and he took one glass, and he drank it. Onocha Galoz, and he had another glass of this alcohol, Ongeisen Ongeisen Adurte Galoz. And then he asked them to pour him a third glass. And we note here that the Tzemach Tzedek only had three glasses of L'chaim. And this is a very important thing because the Rebbe taught that a chassid should only drink four L'chaims, that a Ferengin should not go over four. This is known as Gzeir Samashka. So we see even by the Tzemach Tzedek in the 1800s, Tzemach Tzedek only drank three L'chaims. But nonetheless, they were very intense L'chaims. They're coming from a bottle of Neinziger, of 90% alcohol. But then, right after those three glasses of alcohol, he took his hand and put it across his forehead. And no one could tell after that, after the Tzemach Tzedek put his hand over his forehead, that he had drank this mashke, that he had drank this alcohol. The Tzemach Tzedek later clarified, when he put his hand over his head, he was contemplating on Hashem's greatness. And a great fear, great terror came over him. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that when a person is in a state of terror, that state of terror causes hard wine, causes strong alcohol to melt. Meaning to say that if a person is under a state of great fear or great pressure, even if they have a lot to drink, the fear will make their brain kick in and they'll be more in control. Of course, don't try this at home. Don't drive drunk. But Al Kalpanim, that's the teaching of the Gemara and Bava Basra, and on the face of it, it does seem to make a lot of sense. And their pachan emtarop, and the kerpe, the virkung, was their vine, not tefim. And this terror, this fear that the Tzemach Tzedek had of Hashem, when he thought about Galus Hashem, that caused the physical effects of the wine to go away. So once again, we see that fear of Hashem, that Yiras Hashem, can have physiological effects. The Yirat Bayim Azayfil Gevirkt, when it's the Zayvait Kentik Given, Oy Chayftim Keper, Azarat Arab Genomen Divirkum von der Mashke. The Tzemach Tzedek's Yiras Hashem impacted him so much that it was able to remove the effects of the strong wine. We see the same thing by the love of Hashem. Of is given fet zogun. We learn that Rav Nachman Chernobler was physically fat, and the Chassidim said, "Why was Rav Nachman Chernobler a fat man?" Because he said "Omei Nish Meiraba" with such joy. He felt so much about the great name, about Hashem's greatness, as the Eibush was mevorach la'olam la'omil maya, as the nimshach and ha'ulamis. He thought about the fact that Hashem is drawn down into all worlds, was oich la'masi agash mizin klal, including our physical world. Is there so even with avantainu bizvanis the zalkapoyel tafetkeit in zain kaper? it created such a joy, it created such a physiological response that his own body became fat. But just to summarize this point, we learned three stories of three tzaddikim where we see a physiological response as a result of their Ava, the Yiras Hashem. And this is meant to teach us that Ava, the Yiras Hashem, are not just meant to be in the abstract, but they're even meant to impact your physical body. And from here, the Rebbe wants to argue that all mitzvahs, including mitzvahs which ordinarily would be thought to only be the province of the mind, the province of the soul, the province of the emotion, these mitzvahs are also the province of the body in that they are meant to impact the physical body. Now the Rebbe continues to teach the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that we begin with from Baal Shem Tov, and we get to V'chadalta mi'azayv lo'i. You might think that you would not help the body out when it's crouching under its burden of Torah mitzvahs. So the Baal Shem Tov continues in his teaching on this pasuk. You might think that given that the body is crouching under its load, you might think that you should allow the body to be crushed under fasting and various forms of self-denial and self-flagellation. So the Baal Shem Tov says, no, the pasuk continues, Zokman, Oziv Taziv Imoy. You can't crush the body, but rather you have to work with the body. You have to have a strong body to serve Hashem. You can't neglect the body. You have to raise up the body. You have to clarify the body. The Rebbe says that what's critical in Judaism is engaging the body. What's critical is engaging in the physical deed. If a person just thinks about tefillin, but they don't actually put on tefillin, and a person thinks that what does tefillin symbolize? Tefillin symbolizes taking my mind and making my mind subservient to Hashem, and taking my heart, taking my emotions, and making my emotions subservient to Hashem, among other things. A person just thinks about those things, but is not actually put on tefillin. Not only have they not filled the mitzvah, but they've also done an avera. They've done the avera of nullifying the mitzvah of tefillin. But if, in contrast, a person does in fact put on tefillin, but the person didn't think about the relevant intentions, they mindlessly just put on their tefillin. Maybe because the person does not know the intentions behind tefillin. Other maybe he does know the intentions behind tefillin, not mechavan given, but nonetheless he didn't think about them. We need to give the person a smack. We need to give them a patch. It's not a good thing that you don't think about the kavanas of tefillin, that you do things mindlessly. Of the mitzvah at the mekayim given, but nonetheless, he did do the mitzvah because he did the physical deed. By einim from the tzemach tzedek einiklachat gedar zainabris. Once upon a time, the tzemach tzedek had a grandchild, third rebbe lubavitcher had a grandchild, and they needed to give him a bris. When his zainab given, say ma'alim, and there were two ma'alim in town. There were two men in town who knew how to do the bris. Einus given an elder, vasarat givus kisarizal. One male was old, and he knew the teachings of the Arizal. He knew all the Kabbalistic significance behind the Bris Milah. The Rebbe says, Tzi'alet, Tzinit Alem. Maybe he knew all of Kisvei Arizal. Maybe he was a great Kabbalist. Maybe he didn't know them all. Maybe he only knew the Kabbalistic teachings which were relevant to the Milah. When Einar is given anger, but in contrast, there was another male in town who was a young male, a mumcha, and he was an expert in the physical act of doing the milah. He was much simpler than the older male. Tzemach Tzedek Zog, as Zolnem and Deminger, Tzemach Tzedek said, take the younger male and hire him to do the bris. Why? When Gazok Dev Dim Tam, he gave the reason for this was that the Medarf Pashat and Gashmi is upschneiden. That ultimately the mitzvah milah is physically to cut. It's not to think about all these great lofty things. Of course, having the lofty intentions behind milah is very important, but ultimately the milah is just about doing the procedure, and you want to make sure you do the procedure right. Und das ist der Pshat von Kol Asher Toimer Lechasara Shema Bekela. This is the meaning, this is the rationale behind the Pasuk, which says, whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her voice. Vasara made them Lefeish Zayar Dem Guf, which Sarah, according to the Zayar, symbolizes the body. But the Iker Kavan is the Guf, because the ultimate intention, the ultimate purpose, is for the body. Yet, says Das Behalim, now we don't see that physicality is the ultimate purpose. On the asad love of it, that's zayin begali. But in the future to come, this will be revealed. Bizvan, to point that as neshama that nemen chayis from the guf, until the body will be sustained by the soul. By the avos is dachidua sitim in the kadosh baruch hu mazem eini elam haba. By the avos, the Gemara tells us that Hashem gave the avos a foretaste of the world to come. Therefore, Hotman Avram and Gizok, Kolash or Temer Lechasara, Shema Bekela. And that's why Hashem told Avram, whatever Sarah tells you, Hashem tells the Neshama, whatever the body tells you, you should follow. Which doesn't mean whatever the body tells you, you should go eat a pint of ice cream. It means that one should be sensitive to the body, one should build the body and understand that the body, the embodied life, is ultimately Hashem's purpose, because Hashem ultimately wants a dwelling place within this physical embodied world. Hashem doesn't want more malachim. Let's summarize the sicha. Is Judaism primarily a faith of the spirit, or is it a faith of the body? Is it a faith of the afterlife, or is it a faith of this world? Now, many people who engage with religion or think about religion, and even some people in the Jewish tradition, think that the body and the world aren't really the main event. The body and the world are a distraction, and they take us away from where we'd really like to be, from Olam Haba. And if only we wouldn't have to deal with the body and the world, and if only we could be in some disembodied state, thinking about spiritual ideas all day long, thinking about spiritual ideas for eternity. And this is perhaps a perspective which we see by religions other than Judaism, and there are even some Judaism who do take this path. In Halachic Man, Rav Soloveitchik called this the path of homoreligiosis, of being world-denying, trying to transcend and be beyond the world. But in Teres Chabad, in Chabad teaching, this approach is generally rejected, this approach of negating the world and trying to be a disembodied mind. And instead, Teres Chabad falls out very strongly on the radical primacy of the world and the radical primacy of living an embodied life. We're not meant to run away from the body, but rather we're meant to develop the body. We're meant to have a spiritually refined and illuminated body. The Rebbe brings this out in the context of Parshas Chayesara as follows. In beginning of Parshas Chayesara, we learn, Vatamas Sara Bekiryas Arba Hi Chavrin, Vayava Yavram Lisped Lisara Viliv Kaisa. Torah tells us, and Sarah died in Kiryas Arba, in the city of the four, which is Hebron. And Avram comes to eulogize Sarah and to cry about her. So the Rebbe explains the Pasuk as follows. Symbolically, what's the Pasuk saying? The Zohar tells us that Sarah symbolizes the body, and Avram symbolizes the mind, or Avram symbolizes the soul. So Vatamas Sarah means the body dies. When the body dies, how does the body die? So in Greek philosophy, particularly in the philosophy of Aristotle, building on his predecessors, the pre-Socratics, Aristotle taught that every physical thing is composed of four elements. There is earth, water, fire, and air. Four elements. And these four elements are the building blocks of all things. Now, contemporary chemistry is a little bit more complex than the Aristotelian model, but nonetheless, it is a model through which we can view reality. And generally, the teachings of Jewish philosophy and of Hasidus work with this four-element model. And as we learn in philosophy of science, this model is not an incorrect model. It is simply a more general model than more precise models. But that being said, Kiryas Arba means that the body is comprised of these four elements, And he chevrein comes from the word of chibur, of connection. So the body is comprised of these four elements when they are connected. And in death, the four elements begin to disperse, they begin to disintegrate as the body begins to decompose. So as the body dies, then by Yahweh Avram, the soul comes and the soul cries and eulogizes the body in the Rebbe's reading. Because we said, according to Zayar, Avram symbolizes the soul. And the question is, why is the soul crying on a classic religious conception? Just the opposite. The soul should be very happy that the body has died. After all, the body and the world are a prison which have held the soul back from soaring to the highest of spiritual heights. Why is the soul busy crying? Rebbe explains that this shows us that the body gives the soul a certain virtue. It gives the soul a certain ability to accomplish things that it would not be able to accomplish if it's not in an embodied state. And that's why the soul is so sad, the soul is so bitter about the fact that it lost its body, because it's lost its vehicle for expression. The Rebbe connects a symbolic reading of this pasuk about Sarah's death and Avram coming to cry about Sarah's death to a pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim. There we learn, Ki sirach amarseinu chariv itztachas masoi, v'chadalto mi'aziv loi, oziv taziv imoi. Literally, the pasuk means to say that when you see your enemy's donkey crouching under its burden, will you desist from helping him out? Certainly, you shall help him out. The Baal Shem Tov explained the pasuk as follows. Although it's the case that the pasuk is teaching us a concrete halacha, the pasuk also has a symbolic spiritual teaching. Chamor means donkey, but chamor, rearranged the letters, can also mean chomer. It can also mean matter. It could mean physicality. So, explains Baal Shem Tov, Kisire chamor soynecha, Kisire choymer soynecha. When you see the matter, when you see the physicality of your enemy, meaning your body, in that the beginning of one's spiritual work, before one has achieved a place of, one has come to a place of integration, before one has achieved the state of integration, the body and the soul are enemies. They are in a state of opposition. So when you see your body, when you see it being crushed under the weight of its burden, under the weight of Torah and mitzvahs, which are ultimately a program, which are meant, as the Rambam tells us in the Maor Nevuchim, to refine the body. But nonetheless, you see that at the moment, your body perceives Torah and mitzvahs as a burden. So some might say that the correct way to respond to the body, to respond to your physical self when it's getting crushed by these mitzvahs, or to respond to your child, is to not help out, is to just beat up on yourself, beat up on your body for not doing Torah mitzvahs to the ultimate extreme, and to fast. And people actually do this nowadays, when they see that they're done and they're there, they start fasting, and they take on a lot of very, very stringent things to try to force themselves into line. They don't necessarily treat themselves with compassion. So Baal Shem Tov said, the pasuk is saying that you might have this approach of the chadal t'me'azev loy. When you see that you're not doing mitzvahs to the ultimate extreme, or you see that you're engaged in others, so you might decide to beat up on yourself psychologically, you might beat up on yourself physically. But the pasuk says, no, oziv taziv imay. You have to be compassionate to yourself, you have to be compassionate to your body, and allow yourself to grow in your avodas Hashem, and to grow in your avodas Hashem with a healthy mind and body. So what do we see so far? First, we see that the Rebbe's taich in the second pasuk in the parsha of Vayavi Avram lispeid l'sarv and l'fkaisa, that Avram cries, that the neshama cries over the death of the body, shows that the neshama needs the body for some reason. And then we see from the teaching in the Baal Shem Tov that it's important to treat the body right. It's important to be compassionate to your inner animal. It's important to be compassionate to your inner physicality and not to try to destroy your inner physicality. So we see that spiritually speaking, religiously speaking, ironically, the body is a very important thing, and the neshama cannot exist without the body. Why is the body so central? So the Rebbe explains that every mitzvah ultimately has some association with the body. By some mitzvahs, this is a little bit more evident. Let's say the mitzvah to put on tefillin, or the mitzvah to sit in a sukkah. All these mitzvahs pertain to the body. Most mitzvahs that you'll think of offhand will pertain to the body. However, says the Rebbe, there are also mitzvahs which seem to only be mitzvahs of the mind, mitzvahs of the intellect, or mitzvahs of the emotions. These include Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, or Emunas HaYichud, belief in divine unity, belief in Hashem being the only divine entity. But the Rebbe says that, ideally speaking, these mitzvahs also are meant to have a physiological effect. They have a physiological component. The Rebbe gives the example that tells a story of the Alter Rebbe saying the words Uvechein Tein Pachtecha in Shemayna Esrei, or in Chazaras Hashatz, on the Yom Neiraim. When the Alter Rebbe once said Uvechein Tein Pachtecha, he began to say Pach, Pach, Pach. He began to stutter as he was saying the word Pachtecha, your fear, your terror. And then he fell on the floor and began to roll on the floor in a terror because he was physiologically impacted by his thought of Hashem's awesomeness, of Hashem's pachad. And only after a little bit was he able to get the word pachdecha out of his mouth. In a similar oifen, similar fashion, the Rebbe tells the story of the Tzemach Tzedek, that the Tzemach Tzedek once drank a lot of very strong alcohol out of a bringin. And then he put his hand across his forehead. And after he puts his hand across his forehead, suddenly the effect of the alcohol seems to go away, and the Tzemach Tzedek seems completely sober. And the Rebbe explains, saying from the Tzemach Tzedek, why was the Tzemach Tzedek able to exert such self-control, such that he would seem sober even after having imbibed a significant amount of strong alcohol? Because the Tzemach Tzedek said he thought about Hashem's awesomeness. And the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that Yayin Koshe Pachad Mefigoi, that when a person drinks strong wine, when a person drinks strong alcohol, terror or fear is able to cause a person to regain their faculties. So that Tzemach Tzedek had this degree of self-control such that when he began to reflect on Hashem's greatness, the physiological effects of the alcohol went away. But what do we see from these stories? We see that mitzvahs like Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem are not, like people classically think, things that one can do in a disembodied state, but rather they have a physiological effect on the body, and therefore they're only properly performed in the body. And that's why the neshama cries when the body dies, because the body is critical for the neshama to carry out its purpose in the universe. The Ramban tells us in Shar HaGemul that in Yemais HaMashiach, in the world to come, we're going to be embodied souls. We're not going to be disembodied souls. And we're going to be that way for eternity. And that's also very clearly the Psak of the Gemara in Perek Chelek, in the 10th Perek of Sanhedrin, that Olam Haba, the world to come, is not a place of disembodied souls, but rather it is a place of embodiment. And that's because the Medrash Tanchuma tells us, Nis'ave HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyis Loi Dira Betachtoinim, that Hashem desired to have a dwelling place in the lower realms. So ultimately, the focus is the physical world, the focus is the body. Obviously, we're not meant to focus on the externality of the physical world, not meant to focus on the fleeting pleasures of the physical world. We're meant to focus on the physical world and the fusion between the ideal and the physicality, the fusion between theory and practice. But what's amazing about the physical world and what's amazing about the body is that we take ideals out of the realm of abstraction and play them out on the stage of reality. And when we play things out on the stage of reality, that is the culmination, that is the realization of Mashiach. Because Mashiach is the state of being in this world in a redeemed state, being in this world in an uplifted state. And to cast this in the terms of Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, that explains why the path of Chabad is the path not of the homo religiosus, not of the religious man, not of the person who is engaged in a flight from this world and who is seeking to be beyond the body, who's engaged in the path of annihilation and of otherworldliness, but rather the path of Teres Chabad is the path of the halachic man, the person who lives life according to halacha, because halacha is all about integrating the physical with the spiritual and uplifting and revealing the beauty that is inherent in the world and in the body.